One piece of conventional wisdom voiced this week was that the discord between the two agencies was due, in part, to class. G-men are down-to-earth working stiffs, while the denizens of the CIA are effete Ivy Leaguers. Tim says that that depiction, fostered by Hoover, is mostly wrong. But Hoover was a PR master, so we thought we'd replay a piece exploring that part of his legacy.
Gee, but I'd like to be a G-man and go bang, 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 bang. I'd be a brave gang-busting He-man and go bang, 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 bang. I'd put on disguises of all different sizes, and would I win prizes for telling who spies is?
I'll tell you, things have really changed.
Ronald Kessler is author of Inside the FBI, the world's most powerful law enforcement agency.
Under Hoover, the Bureau created this image of this invincible agency where they always got their man. They did this through the media, through radio shows, TV shows, movies that they controlled.
Many of the incidents in the story you are about to hear are based on the actual records and authentic experiences of Matt Savetic, who for 9 fantastic years lived as a communist for the FBI.
J. Edgar Hoover policed the agency's image through an office with the impenetrable name of the Crimes Records Division. It was charged with furnishing what was called interesting case memoranda to the radio shows and later TV shows and movies over which Hoover exercised an invincible veto power. He was ever vigilant in the pursuit of good PR.
I am your new director. I did not ask for the position, but now that I have it, I intend to give it the best I have. The Bureau will operate solely on efficiency, and we are going to do it as a team.
Once upon a time, Hollywood loved the organization.
David Edelstein is the film critic for New York Magazine.
There was something very, very reassuring about the discipline, the order, the routine, the sticking to the rules. There was something very reassuring about those men in those gray suits, all with identical haircuts.
But the love affair had cooled for the average American in the mid-70s with the Senate investigation under Frank Church of the intelligence community. Turns out the FBI was regularly engaged in violating our civil liberties through harassment, blackmail, intercepting mail, and all manner of black bag operations.
That pretty much blew the lid off all of the FBI horrors that Hoover had kept, you know, bottled up over all those years.
Richard Powers is the author of G-Men, Hoover's FBI in American Popular Culture.
Once you have an image that the FBI promoted during the 1930s of being an omnipotent, all-knowing, all-powerful agency that never could make a mistake, it was setting itself up for a terrible fall.
So the image of the FBI is splintered. Films like the Die Hard series showed up the FBI as officious and obstructionist bureaucrats.
Al, talk to me. What's going on here?
That's the FBI. They got the universal terrorist playbook, and they're running it step by step.
Meanwhile, the Bureau regained a measure of its old omniscience with a Jodie Foster vehicle.
Yeah, Starling, tell me what you see.
Oh, he's a white male. Serial killers tend to hunt within their own ethnic groups. He's not a drifter. He's got his own house somewhere, not an apartment.
Why?
What he does with them takes privacy. And he's never impulsive. He'll never stop.
Why not?
He's got a real taste for it now, and he's getting better at his work.
Not bad, Starling.
Louis Starling and Silence of the Lambs probably did more for the Bureau as a fictional case than any real case, any real publicity that the Bureau could have done. It was amazing.
Ex-profiler John Douglas is the model for Agent Starling's mentor, Jack Crawford, played by Scott Glenn.
A lot of high-ups in the FBI itself at first didn't like the movie. They said it was very, very violent. And when I went to a movie screening, I got up and I said, I don't know what the rest of you think in the FBI. I see this work day in and day out.
Damn, you know, who wouldn't want to sign up and go out and hunt themselves some serial killers?
Critic David Edelstein says that despite anecdotal evidence to the contrary, the gods of Tinseltown have consistently favored the Bureau with positive portrayals.
In the beginning, the FBI was all that stood between us freedom-loving Americans and those nasty immigrant gangsters. Then the FBI was all that stood between us and that evil communist menace. Then when the communist menace no longer seemed so imminent, suddenly the FBI was out doing battle with right-wing white supremacists and the Ku Klux Klan.
Even the X-Files, which depicts a dark and dangerous place, an agency at war with itself, has proved a boon to the FBI. As long as it seems powerful, the Bureau can't lose.
It's only in very, very, very rare instances that the FBI is portrayed as incompetent, which seems to me the worst danger to an organization that thrives on secrecy and that presents itself as a model of superhuman and enlightened efficiency.
But the agency's rep remains in flux. We have a hair-trigger body politic, and Director Comey is in the crosshairs. Hoover's PR machine is broken down, and in this media-saturated environment, cannot be revived. I mean, who alive today has the skills to manipulate the media amid all this chaos? Well, as the Russians say, «Pomyeni chorta, i on tut kak tut». Speak of the devil, and he will appear. Coming up, will the voice of America be Trumpified? This is On the Media.